second act. Today's episode is about getting a job after 40, particularly after 50. But listen, I don't know why it is that outdated stereotypes wants to hold us back and hold employers back from hiring us. But we're going to talk, and not all employers, just so you know, we're going to talk about that. Today, I'm uncovering strategies, six strategies to give you the boost to land the interview and then hopefully the job as well. Welcome to the second act. It is all about women over 40, 50, 60 plus. I'm bringing you every week information that is curated for us on pop culture, jobs, and entrepreneurship. And I welcome you to today's show, whether you're listening on the podcast or live on YouTube and Facebook and LinkedIn. Well, today, again, I'm discussing career strategies to land that job. So we're going to dive deep into this topic. And I want you to get your pen and paper out because I'm going to give you tried and true expert led information on how it is you can land that interview. But before I get started, I'm down 17 pounds. What? In 2 months. Today's episode is brought to you by the Cunningham Clinic here in Denver, Colorado. Last July, I hit 237 pounds. I just checked. I thought it was 236 was my highest, but Fitbit said 237.3 pounds last July of 2023. Well, I had to do something about it. Heart disease runs in our family. My mother had a stroke. I'm a brand new caregiver because of that. My father sadly passed away at 49 of heart disease. So I needed, now that I had tipped the scales as officially being obese, to do something a little bit quicker about my weight, but I'm doing it safely by eating the right things, drinking the right, drinking a lot of water and all of that. I'm on Mounjaro thanks to the Cunningham Clinic. And so because of that, the food noise is gone. It is absolutely true when Oprah said the food noise somehow goes away. The cravings are gone, all of that. And I am sitting at from 225 to 207.5. That's February 8th to today, which is April 11th, 2024. So I'm feeling good. I highly recommend the Cunningham Clinic. They are board certified. And I've known the owner, Kimberly Cunningham, for years. So if you're looking for a place to go, I highly recommend the Cunningham Clinic. Okay, let's talk about jobbing after 40, 50, 60 plus. Oh my Lord. Let me give you some numbers. 100, 5, and 0. Do you know what that represents? 2018, when I was looking to go back into a corporate America at 51 at the time, I sent well over 100 resumes. I got 5 interviews, 0 job offers, and I'm an award-winning marketing director. I mean, all of us have something that says, hello, we should be getting more job offers than not. And I hear this story over and over again. I know of someone who did over 200 resumes, had to even do a project and spent an entire week working on a project only to be told we're going in another direction after she delivered a full-on 20-hour project. Well, let's talk about that. And it's not as if projects are going to go away, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. The bad thing is when we're not given the chance to move on to even maybe talk about that project or land the darn interview in the first place. Whether you've sent hundreds of resumes or you are just getting started, age may be related to why you may not be getting the interview. It may just be a factor thanks to the outdated stereotypes, again, about us being expired when you hit a certain age, kind of like a label. You're expired. You're ready to retire. As Gen Xers, we're considered lazy. Maybe they think that we're tech challenged and not adaptable to change. All of those things that all of us can certainly debunk about who we are as women and men and they today. We are adaptable to change. Hello, Gen X boomers. Wow, we had to adapt to so much change, new technology as it was coming out. Remember Pong and Pac-Man and, you know, all those things. So listen, we know that we're being seen as invisible, but let's scrap that internally. Let's figure out how today you can have a better chance of landing that interview. So number one out of six ways that you can land that interview. And by the way, these again are tried and true. I listen to talent acquisition managers, HR managers that are all partners with us at Second Act Women, all have led, many of them have led workshops and sessions at some of our conferences and events to talk particularly to this subject. So get out your pen and paper. Here's number one. You have to understand age bias in the job market. Yes, even I didn't want to believe that because of my age, that could be standing in the way back then. And it only gets harder, sadly. So first up, let's talk about age bias in the job market. Despite progress in DEI and belonging efforts all across really the world, stereotypes, as I just mentioned, about older workers remains and can influence hiring decisions. Just Google it. AARP did research on this, and it is amazing the percentage, the high percentage of hiring managers that sadly look at that date that you may have accidentally, because don't do it anymore, put on your resume or your CV or written in a cover letter, what have you, that indicates your age. They have unconscious bias. So remember that your experience, although that's true, we have to have you walk in and understand the job market and understand the biases and take the first step of overcoming them. So remember, your experience, your maturity, your judgment are all valuable assets. You need to embrace this time and play age to your benefit. So my question to you is, can you name your top five power skills, your top five hard skills? So today we call power skills, we call soft skills power skills because they're not soft. They're innately in you. Gen Xers, boomers, those are things that we learned. So a lot of what we learned was from our parents. So can you, off the top of your head, name five power skills that are innate in you that makes you who you are today and your top five? Well, guess what? Most talent managers and HR folks who are interviewing us say that we can't rattle those things off the top of our head if we're ever asked in an interview. You need to own that. You need to understand. And there are a bevy of power skills that you could list and hard skills. But if we can't, understanding the job market and understanding what those power skills are, what power skills are needed in the job market, and we can't roll those off our brains, that could be an issue. So it's been said that that's a hindering factor, as I said, for not recognizing your own value, because that's what it's saying. If you're not walking in and being able, even right now, if you're not able to rattle off your power skills, that means you're not valuing or even understanding the power that you are bringing to the job, even the job that you have now. You need to acknowledge those and own them. So, like I said, get out that pen and paper. I want you to write down five, at least five and no less than, of your soft, aka power skills, and five of your hard skills. And I want you to commit them to memory. I want you to be able to immediately say, I'm good at this, 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 this. If anybody were to ask, commit those to memory. Now, five of your power skills and five of your hard skills. I'm going to give you a cheat sheet. So go to bizlifecon.com and click on the shop. And inside of the shop, the store, I should say, I have a cheat sheet for you. I have a checklist of power skills and hard skills because let's face it, even I had to Google at the time when I wasn't recognizing my own power skills. I had to Google what could be some of my power skills and write them down. So I created a cheat sheet for you. I'll also drop them inside of the show notes. All right, now let's talk about number two out of six strategies to land the interview and hopefully that darn job that you're looking for. Reframing your narrative is number two. Reframing your narrative is crucial to job success and to the process, the job search process, in particular, those of us over a, as they say, certain age. Your resume and cover letter, those are your marketing tools. That's part of your personal brand. So crafting a compelling resume and cover letter and using ChatGPT is A-okay to highlight those power skills that we just mentioned above and your experiences and effectively defining what those are inside of that CV. Focusing on, get this, achievements and results, not responsibilities. I'm not saying don't put the responsibilities down, but attach those responsibilities to action words, to numbers, to stats, to things that when they see that, they see, oh, she was responsible for a $100,000 sale with a client. So make sure that you are putting the achievements mirrored or alongside the results of that achievement or that accomplishment. Don't shy away. It is okay to brag inside of that CV. This is your storefront. Your resume is your storefront to who you are, as is that cover letter. And by the way, if they don't recommend or they don't say that you need to send a cover letter, I would do it anyway. What's the harm? I've even included in the past video introduction to who I am. So think about that, but don't do this. Don't put graduation dates from high school or college or any of those things. Don't do any of that. I've got to spray my dog. I got to get her to stop. I've got a new trick. When my dog goes to barking at the neighborhood dog, I spray her. I do what they do with cats. Anywho, do not put those dates on there. The other, because we already know what that says. That tells them your age. They don't need to know that. They just need to know how well of a job you've done before and what you could do now. Only go back, as you're probably aware, 10 to 15 years. By reframing your narrative, you can present yourself in a very compelling manner as the candidate they need to interview, regardless of age. Now, a couple of other things that I want you to write down on your little note. Optimize the value of each position. As I just said a moment ago, list the results with the responsibilities. Emphasize those tech skills. You know Canva, you know, and yes, put Word, Google Workspace, put that you've worked with any of those project management tools, Asana, ClickUp, Monday.com, any of those, Slack. Put those down as things that you know to debunk, in case they try to figure out age, to debunk the idea that you don't know those tech tools. Lastly, under reframing your own narrative, make sure that you're using action verbs like enhanced, supported, proposed, created, performed, introduced, collaborated. That's a huge word with many. Presented, negotiated, designed. Use action verbs inside of those points, those bullet points on your CV and inside of your cover letter. So number three is, oh, and by the way, under reframing your narrative, show that you are connected. And by that, I mean LinkedIn, which I'm going to talk about here in a moment. By showing that you are connected to others within that industry, even if you're swiveling careers, make sure you're making those connections with other people in other industries, the one that you want to look at. But connections is very powerful. And think about it. You have a bank of them. You have collected connections from years back. I was just at a co-working space, the Clayton, just last week, and I'm sitting there co-working with my cute little dog. I bring her everywhere. And who do I run into? Dennis Moore, formerly with the Denver Broncos, who I had met when I was at Park Meadows Retail Resort in Denver, Colorado, as the director of marketing. I had met him in 2010. He had left for St. Louis, came back, and is working with the Broncos again, and they happen to be doing a conference right there at the Clayton. That was a connection that I made by just having a few meetings with him, sales meetings with him, to do some collaboration with my property. And we remembered each other. And then next thing you know, I'm getting introduced to other people that he's there with. So connections, your bank of connections is queen. All right. Number three, networking and personal branding. We already know that networking is queen, but we have to understand that we are a brand as well. If you have one platform that you have had conversations on, whether that's Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, of course, Facebook, any of those, guess what? You are a personal brand, because whatever you're commenting on, whatever you have posted about, that is what's being seen as representing you, as brand you. So networking and personal branding is number three as a strategy to landing that interview. Today, it's essential to have your personal brand in check. In today's market, things are ever changing, evolving, building professional connections, as I just said a moment ago, and cultivating your online presence can truly open doors that you wouldn't even imagine. Look at what I just said about the Denver Broncos and getting introduced to their director of HR, their VP of HR. That was an amazing connection that I made through my bank of connections. So cultivating your online presence and understanding what it is you want to represent, who you represent, whether it's your who you are as a human and those assets and values and morals, all of those, but also what you represent in your career as an expert in whatever it may be. It is extremely important. So don't hesitate. By the way, networking, again, to reach out to your network when you are looking for your next job, or if you were doing that now. I'm sure many of you are, but sometimes we don't, because for fear of going to be bothering this person, or what do I even say? How do I get them to introduce me to this person or that person? Well, get out your pen. Here's one of the things that you do. You not only are going to do it and reach out to that person who knows the person at that position that you want a job at, you're going to give them a shortcut. You're going to write the summary introduction so that they can cut and paste it and make it their own. And it makes it so easy for them to make that introduction, because a lot of times when we've been asked, at least, you know, when I've been asked to make an introduction, sometimes it's hard. You know that person, you want to introduce them, but timing, do I have time to make that introduction? I've got to write, I've got to remember, I've got to think about what I would say. Make it easy. So on that piece of paper, under networking and personal branding, pick 20 connections of the companies that you want to work for and you're connected to someone with, and write out the introduction as to why, literally the introduction that they are using to introduce you to the interviewer or whomever it may be, the person who is making those decisions. Very important. And guess what? You're also going to just reach out, say hello, maybe ask a little bit about who that person is. Do they know them very well? And maybe the next message to them is, then can you make an introduction? So create that list of 20. What's going to happen is you might just also uncover hidden, hidden job opportunities by creating a list of people that you want to connect with, or you want them to connect you to. We have to do those sorts of things. We have to sort of go the extra mile, sadly, but true, at this time in our lives. We have to go the extra mile. You have to understand your personal brand under networking and branding on that piece of paper. What do you want to be known for? And before you write that down, what are you known for today? Write a statement down. What am I known for? What would coworkers say about me today, about my job and how I do my job and how I handle situations, crises management, or how I handle customers or my team members, whatever it may be. Understand what they think your brand is, and hopefully it's what you hope it to be. And then craft your brand statement. Do a brand refresh if needed. If people aren't saying what you kind of hoped for them to say, well, that might mean that you need a personal brand refresh. I'm going to be leading, side note, a personal branding course in June about all of this. We're going to dive deep into your personal brand. You are going to walk away with a personal brand statement, but we're going to do a lot of work before we get to that point. So again, that's what you're doing is networking and understanding your own personal brand. Number 4 out of 5 strategies to land the interview at over 40 is upskilling and continuous learning. I actually think at this time in life, we are lifelong learners. I always like to say to people, gosh darn it, had I been this enthusiastic about learning and researching and understanding things, I would have done a lot better at Colorado State University in terms of my GPA. It would have been a little bit higher than it was when I graduated. That's neither here nor there. I still graduate with a decent GPA, but still, I wish I had that thirst to learn. But that's what it's like today. I feel like if we don't know something, we are going down the YouTube rabbit hole, or we're picking up and getting into ChatGPT now, or Googling, which is sort of old school now, it seems. But we are finding out, or we're having conversations with people. And so upscaling and continuous learning is to your benefit. I say, take those classes, those workshops, get those certifications. The beauty of being over 40, 50, 60 plus is our desire to learn. So do that with your profession or the industry that you were looking to seek. Go to Coursera, LinkedIn Learning. There are so many places. Inside of our Second Act Women community, we have a bevy of members that are there and ready to teach you what you want to know inside of your industry. So think about woman-owned businesses and support them. But invest in you. Invest in your professional development like never before. And if you already have a career, this is something I wish I would have thought to have, is a career coach. We have so many career coaches inside of our community. Shelly Johnson, Lisa Carmen, so many women are out there wanting to help you that are like us, that have had HR departments or been a part of HR departments, that are there to help you inside of our global community of Second Act Women. So, under number 4, what you're going to do is set a goal today. Make time for you. So set a goal. And that goal is to say that you're going to take a course by this time, a workshop by this time, or receive a certification by this time, and then do it. So don't just set it. Literally put it on a piece of paper, type it out, whatever it is. Commit to it, openly say you're going to do it with friends and family, and do it. Put on your calendar inside of your device and do it and get that certification so that now you have something else to add to that CV, right? Number 5 of 6 strategies to land the interview. Interview strategies and confidence building. So time and time again, I often hear from HR managers and talent acquisition folks that we walk in because we feel so beat up from going on so many interviews that, whew, another one to go at. So we walk in and we literally are walking, not walking in with the thrill, the excitement, the enthusiasm for that position that you are going after, because in your mind, sort of imposterism, because I won't call it syndrome, you're not sick, but imposterism has set in because you've sent so many resumes, you've tried, but then you finally get that interview and you're just depleted. No, do some breathing exercises if you want, do whatever it is that you need to do so that you're walking in ready to take on the world and showing your enthusiasm and your confidence. Because what they tell me is not only are we walking in not enthusiastic about being there, but our confidence is not showing. We are sort of showing up with a lack of confidence. And you know what? They can smell it from across the room. This is what they do all day, every day. They know people. They know humans. So walk in with confidence. You have to. I know it's hard. And then, you know what? Say thank you when it's all done that you did it. You walked in, you showed your best self, and go on about your day. But prepare thoroughly for that interview and practice your responses. Address any age-related concerns head-on that you might think, perceptions you might think they have of you. So if I were you, regardless of industry, I would highlight some of the tech skills that you have. I would highlight, you know, whatever it is that it's about those outdated stereotypes. Just have things ready to go, top of mind, that you can address so that you show up as the person for the job. Showcase your passion, enthusiasm, and relevant experiences, of course. And even if you're swiveling careers, there are transferable skills. You've just kind of highlighted skills at the top. But if you use my worksheet, again, that I'm going to leave the link for, if you use my worksheet, you're going to find a lot of skills, power skills and hard skills that are probably transferable to that new career that you want. So remember, though, that you're interviewing them just as much as they're interviewing you. We know that. So make sure, obviously, that when you do land that job, these are the people you want to work with. These are the humans that you want to call family for years to come. So on that piece of paper, under interview strategies and confidence building, in your next interview, go with that top five power skills. Go with your top five hard skills. And use those as the answer at the very end. Even if they don't ask you, why are you the right person for this job? I would end it with that. I would end it with your own power statement as to why it is you are the right person for the job. And you already know your skills and what you bring. So you're just going to wrap those in to your statement as why you are the person for that job. I would write that statement out beforehand, commit it to memory, and then make it your own. And then next thing you know, you're going to be wowing them. Lastly, of the six is exploring alternative career paths. Moment ago, I talked about swiveling careers. Bonnie, that's for you. Many of us, so there's a new term out there called portfolio careers. And there are several companies and even state organizations and city organizations that I am learning from other people that I know that are working for various companies. A lot of companies are okay with you. They are okay with you having other freelancing, being a 1099 or doing, you've turned that hobby into a second career. As long as you're not doing it on their dime, obviously, they're fine with it. But portfolio careers is this new thing. Many of us, I would say, are doing that. I have a portfolio career. I'm a public speaker in the aging and personal branding space. I'm the owner of a social enterprise, Second Act Women. I have a podcast. I do marketing for other companies, for other clients, because that's my jam, is marketing and public relations, right? I'm leading a Canva class, for instance, for a company that has nothing to do with my pro age speaking. But like many of us, why are we pigeonholed into just doing one thing when we want to do a lot of things? There's no overtime in life. So I say do it all if you want to, and if you can balance it out and making sure that one thing isn't lacking, you know, over another, obviously. But portfolio careers. But yeah, entrepreneurship, maybe you want to do that. Freelance work, career transitions can offer flexibility and fulfillment outside of that career that you've been doing for 5, 10, 20, 30 years. Portfolio careers may be the direction you want to go. So the last of this list, number 6 on that same piece of paper is, if this is you, make a list of all the things you like to do. Make a list from that list of skills and hard skills and soft skills. On that, you might discover that there are hard skills that you don't really like to do, but that's a part of your job. And then on that list that I'm going to link you to, you might also discover hard skills that you're either interested in learning or you really love to do. That could lead into freelancing or an entirely different position. Uh-oh, here we go. Squirt, squirt. And so I say make a list of all the things that you want to do today in your career, what you would like to do later, and maybe add to that list the companies that you'd like to work for. That's what I would do, right? All right. So listen, those are 6 strategies to landing the interview. And by golly, did I really just say that? That is not my terminology. goodness sakes, another one. What is happening to me? That's not me. Anyway, those are 6 strategies to finding the interview and getting that job that you want, regardless of age. And although age may be a factor for some, it shouldn't be for you. You are powerful. You are a superpower, ladies. Own it, believe it, and live it, right? So in conclusion, as I wrap up today's episode and navigating that job search over 40, 50, 60 plus, remember that age is a factor again. And with the right strategies and growth mindset, not a fixed mindset, but the mindset that you can and you will, we're all going to watch you, you will get what you deserve. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to pretend that it might take time, because it might, but I've heard from several people that after working hard to do it, because as we've been told, finding a job is like having a job, you will get it. You will get the thing that you deserve. So I leave you today with, I want you to subscribe to my YouTube channel. I am here Thursdays at 9 a.m. Mountain Time. These will now start going only to the YouTube channel, and you can find this podcast anywhere you get your podcasts today. I really appreciate you joining me, and I guess I should see if there's any comments. Oh, there are. Hello. There are comments. All right. Let's see. Thank you, Ron Mitchell. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. See, a connection. I worked with Ron in radio many years ago, and we've stayed in contact. I like with Kim Anderson. Thank you for joining me today, and I wish you an amazing day today. And remember, aging is living. Get out there and live it. Do it. Love it. It's okay to age. You're above ground.